asses, cause this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
The wheels may be needing a little work.
Dead men tell no tales.
Oh, look at those people.
Here for the big race, huh? It's gonna be fun.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
What's up, everyone? This week we have a very special interview. Our friends Ashley and Nick from Mouse Vibes are here recording with us. Guys, how are you doing?
We're awesome. Thank you.
What's going on, guys? So how's everything been? Finally, we have someone out here, some Southern California locals.
From California, yes.
You know, other people to just bask in the SoCal misery of Disneyland being closed. So glad to be here.
Legacy pass holders unite.
Legacy pass holders, but we can't use your pass because the park is closed.
I feel like we're all four of us are just like rotting away, just waiting for the parks to open. Just we can't wait for it to
Seriously, if we could only be like, I miss this so much before we make everybody online sad. Like every Disneyland person's posts are just like, I miss this, but we don't know when we're going to do it again.
So true.
So you guys have been to like downtown Disney and, you know, how do you guys feel about going there? Does it fill your Disney needs, or is it just kind of more of a tease for you?
Honestly, I was so unsure about it, but once you get into like the Esplanade and you hear the music, that's worth it enough. I'm not sure about like the shopping and dining, but just to kind of run out in that area and get close to Disneyland is pretty awesome.
It fills it for me if I don't have to wait in a line. That's like true. If I get to just walk in and like hear the music, it's fine. But like sometimes it does become a chore if every time you go down there, no matter what time of the day, it's a 3-hour wait. It's just like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's crazy. But I definitely agree. I think that when we go and we just sit there and listen to the music, that's kind of our favorite part of being there, because that's also like the most secluded part of being there. Otherwise, you're just around a bunch of people that are shopping for merch that I can't wear at the parks right now. So why am I spending all this money? But I still am.
Seriously, right? The amount of outfits I have booked for when the parks open is like not okay. Like I spent so much money.
Yeah.
Gotta love those lounge fly bags.
Oh my gosh, yes. That's one thing. Every time I buy one, they come out with another one that I'm like, I like that one more. I need it.
I feel like every week I like come back from work and Danny has a new lounge fly bag.
Something like that. I've started hiding my boxes.
I do the same thing.
So guys, I mean, I guess this is a separate question for both of you. Like, what is it that made you guys fall in love with Disney in the first place?
Mm-hmm. I've been a Disney person my whole life. My family took us there every year kind of as a present. They took me and my cousins there, and I was a bit spoiled growing up. So we got like the churros, the pretzels, merch, hats, everything every time we went. So it just was always a good, fun memory for me.
Yeah, similar to me as well. I'm a Los Angeles local, and my family would go at least like once a year, and it was our big day out. We would never like stay at a hotel. It was just a day trip there, but it was always the best. And it's just been like a tradition I've carried on. And then, you know, as I've gotten older, having a pass with Ashley is where it got taken to the next level.
Yeah. And I will say my two past ex-boyfriends were really angry at me about my love for Disney and actually like made fun of me for like having memorabilia or merch. So when I met Nick and he's like, I like Disney too, I'm like, well, she's been unleashed. You're not ready for what's to come. And it kind of just exploded.
I mean, if you don't like Disney, that's definitely a deal breaker. I mean, yeah, like, you not so, like Disney? Fun, I don't get it.
Weirdo.
No, yeah, right? Now, since you guys have been going since you were kids, I guess this is more for Ashley, just because nobody ever remembers what I'm talking about. And you might not either, and that's okay. As far as merch goes, before Mickey ears were a thing, do you remember the princess hats, like the cone hats?
Yes. And they had like, what is it called? Like
the tool
or something on it. And then they had a tool. I remember.
Yes. Thank you. Okay. Fantastic. Like pink, I wish that they
purple,
would.
Blue. Yeah.
Yeah. I wish they'd bring those back. Okay. Finally, somebody remembers. I was starting to think that it was all in like my head. It was just a very vivid dream I had.
Okay, so when was your guys' like first Disney trip together?
Oh, that's awesome. It was about a year after the 60th anniversary. They were still celebrating the 60th. We got a pass for the weekend, right?
Okay, you're telling this wrong. We were newly dating. We're newly dating, and Nick's like, let's go for a three-day weekend. I'm like, hell yeah, let's go to, you know, let's go to Disneyland for a three-day weekend. And like 3 hours into the first day, he goes, I got us annual passes. And I'm like a little bit drunk at the park. And I'm like, we just started dating. This is a bit aggressive. But I'm like, whatever, like maybe everything's going to be great. And like, here we are 5 years later. But yeah. I just felt like it was a bit aggressive. But that was our first trip together.
I thought I was just being a gentleman getting a value pack, but.
Like we've been together like 3 months, but I guess this is a big commitment, but let's just do it.
Yeah.
You know, we actually had similar. Tony got us annual passes for our first Disney trip together, too. And it was same kind of thing where it was like, okay, we've barely been dating, but I mean, he got me a Disney pass. So, okay, that's points.
Yeah, well, right?
I mean, kind of like what Ashley said before, like she had ex-boyfriends that made fun of her for liking Disney. Like I had ex-girlfriends who would always bash me for like, dude, you're like an adult and you just all you do is like play video games and go to Disney. And I'm like, okay, well,
and
I like what I like.
Is and there then, something else to do?
Well, then when I met Danny and I found out how much she loved Disney, I was like, okay, I'm locking this down.
Yep.
And I fell for it.
Yes.
He gets it. Tony gets it.
So, okay, so you guys have a YouTube page and a podcast. Tell us about, like, what have been some of your guys' like, challenges through that whole
especially now, because you
project, yeah.
When did you start it? Kind of within the pandemic era?
Yeah, I think it was, like, maybe 2 weeks before is when we started really taking it serious.
Literally.
Like, really, really great timing.
Yeah.
Good job. I know it's like the worst timing. We went to Tokyo in 2018 and we brought this like new camera that we bought that we didn't know how to use. And you can clearly tell in these videos because it's so shaky. And when we got back from the trip, we're like, hey, maybe we should start filming. And we never did. And then like a year later, when Rise of the Resistance opened, Nick got a GoPro and he's like, let's just record it. Like, maybe it'll be fun. Let's start taking this seriously. And then boom, the pandemic hit. And now we've been trying to figure out topics and be creative while inside. We did do a trip to Walt Disney World and then, you know, downtown Disney stuff. But yeah, we started taking it seriously in January of 2020.
Yep.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, you guys have been doing a great job. I do watch quite a few YouTube videos and your guys is like editing. You guys make it
a
lot of fun.
It's very different. Yeah, it's so different. And I'm not a YouTube lover like Tony is. He could sit on the couch and watch for hours. And I'm just like, how did we get down this rabbit hole? But you guys are actually one that I'm like, okay, I actually subscribe to you guys to be completely real. So you're doing a good job.
Thank you.
Wow, that's awesome.
Thank you so much because it's funny. Something like we always worry because when you watch other YouTubers, everybody has their own unique style, but majority of the Disney parks YouTubers, it's a bit of a slower conversation. It's very slow. There's not quick edits, which is fine because it works for everybody. But Nick and I are like, we're high energy and we like fast and to the point. So we were wondering if people enjoy that style. So it's very nice to hear that because we were like, should we just do long form? We're like, no, let's be fast.
That was like kind of my thing too, is like watching these videos are like, all right, we're going to go check out the new corn dog. And you're like 10 minutes into the video and they haven't even gotten into the park. I'm like, what am I doing?
No diss to, anybody. We just do it. We're impatient. And we are like Tony, where we watch a lot of YouTube, like a lot. Mm-hmm. And I take a lot of notes. And like, for me personally, I just like quick, fast. So thank you guys for that compliment because we always wonder if people like it or they notice.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And when like the high pitched voices come in just to kind of throw me off. Like, yes.
Yeah. Who does the editing, Nick or Ashley?
I do all the editing.
Okay. The editing is great. I can just give you guys 5 stars for that. You guys.
No, you got to give them 5 vibes.
5 vibes. Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
See, I'm not faking it. I know my stuff.
Oh my gosh. That just made my day. Thank you guys.
No, definitely. And yeah, we'll continue to watch your videos. Actually, while we ate breakfast this morning, we were watching some videos.
Yes.
So good stuff, guys. Good stuff. Keep it going. Now let's talk about
you guys on as well though.
Yeah, seriously.
Okay, I'll do my eyebrows just for you.
Yes.
Everybody knows that I am an eyebrow fiend, so.
I do enjoy your guys' videos, even though I do disagree sometimes, such as Splash Mountain being the worst mountain. I definitely have to disagree with that. And Splash Mountain is definitely my favorite mountain, I will say.
And I think that Matterhorn might be your least favorite. It's definitely not my least favorite. I was very happy that you guys had Matterhorn as your number one because I love the Matterhorn. But Tony's definitely one like, oh, my back. Oh, this ride.
I have back issues, okay?
Oh, dude. If you guys watch our videos, you know our friend Tetris. He called us after that video and he's like, Matterhorn, Matterhorn, who says Matterhorn? And I'm like, I don't know. I just really don't. And then he said the same thing Tony said. He's like, literally, if you want like a chiropractor to come adjust you, I'm like, yeah. I just think it's pretty.
It's just funny. Like you do like a certain topic, you know, like five best mountains, and you don't realize how like if your opinion differs, you offend people. The amount of people that were offended
on our Snow White video, the amount of hatred we got, which you ain't popping if you don't have haters, but they're like, how dare you want to change Snow White? And I'm like, sorry, like, yeah. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. But I feel like all of us here are respectful of other people's opinions.
Right. So, and everyone goes to Disney for different things.
Yes.
No, exactly. I mean, we have to have different opinions that's Disney. There's so much for everyone out there. Yeah. And for everyone to have the same opinion, it's just kind of BS.
I don't want a yes man Disney partner.
Yes.
No, exactly. Like there's rides that, you know, I'm sure I love that everyone else hates. It's just
there's
kind of the
rides
way it
that
is.
You love that I hate, but I still go on them.
Ooh, what are those?
Wait, what are those?
I get a lot of hate for this one a lot. And you guys might hang up on us for this. I don't really like Rise of the Resistance.
Ooh.
I know. Okay. I know.
Why?
It's great. It's wonderful. And I know that it's wonderful, but it's just like, it doesn't, you know, tickle my fancy. I don't know. Like, it's just like, meh, that was cool, but I'm going to go back on the carousel.
Anyways. Yeah. So this is a great start to the interview.
Oh my God. Awesome.
This is usually when Tony will hand over some divorce papers to me. You know, I feel like every episode it's like, and we're getting divorced over this.
Oh my God. I love it.
Yeah, no, yeah, I love Rise of the Resistance. Same, you guys love it too as well. I think it. What do you guys think of Galaxy's Edge? I guess let's just talk about that since Danny had to bring up her hate.
Yes, I'll start. I love it. I can walk around it in the detail. I'm in that world. I want just something that's immersive, like the two rides. Even though there's only two rides in there, I can just walk around and be stoked on that.
I think Galaxy's Edge is lame. It's like a big shopping mall, and they should have extended Toontown and made a huge interactive Toontown. Ooh, like, what is Batu? I don't care. And then one of them is a full screen ride. I think it's boring. It's pretty to go take pictures, but I just like think it's boring.
Yeah. I totally agree. I think that the first time I went into it, see, are you guys getting separated now too? Are you guys going to break up? Ashley, I got you. It's cool. We're good. I think the first time I went to Galaxy's Edge, it was like, I was starstruck. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so amazing. This is so cool. I love it. Then the second time I went, I'm like, okay, it's still kind of cool. And then the third time you go, and it's like, it's the exact same thing I've seen over and over again. I'm going to go back to Frontierland.
Yeah, I'm appreciative and respectful of the Imagineers that did it. And I do understand it's catered towards the Star Wars stan. That is not me, but I still like when we would bring our friends there that hadn't been, like, I still think it's like, it's visually stunning, like the architecture of it. But for me personally, I just don't have that much fun there. And I feel like the land is really hot in the summer. There was one time I almost passed out from the heat. I was a bit dehydrated, but there's no shade over there either. It's just like hardcore cement. And it's just, I don't know. In the SoCal heat, it's a lot for me to
I think so. Just give it a little bit of time. You know, it's first year. The trees will grow in. They'll figure itself out. I think in like, I don't know. Personally, the timeline, if they are able to get rid of that timeline, it could be so much better.
Yeah, like if they have like Grogu in there and Darth Vader, like I don't care about timelines either. Like just throw all of the Star Wars guys in there. That's fine. I think it'd make it a bit more interactive as opposed to like, we have a brand new storyline that no one knows about. Buy merch. Like, what are you doing? you know?
Yeah. And that's one thing that Tony always brings up too, is just the, like, the storyline and how it will be in, like, you know, 10, 15 years. Will people care about the characters that are there right now?
Exactly. I'm on Tony's tip. I just don't think they will. Like, go with where the money's been already. That's what's going to work.
Yeah, no, seriously. Like, I don't think the new Star Wars films that Disney has produced are going to stand the test of time like the original trilogy. So, I mean, kind of like Nick said, let's wait and see in like 10 years.
Yeah.
Maybe they will add more stuff and, you know, they'll kind of keep updating their characters and experiences at least.
I do love Oga's Cantina though. So,
yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And I have all the faith in Disney. Like, Disney, they survey people and they see the tweets and the Instagram comments and everything. There's no doubt in my mind that, like, they'll fix some stuff up.
For sure.
So you guys recently went to Walt Disney World. Ashley, you've been there before. Nick, this was your first time.
Yeah, that was my first time.
And I hear you took a little road trip there.
Little.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Tell me, do you have any, like, crazy, gas station attendant stories? Any, like...
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, just getting out of California, it was a whole new world. Like, you got judged wearing a mask in certain places. Mm-hmm. But just the whole drive through Texas was the longest period of my whole life. And I had to question everything about this road trip. I was like, we've gone too far to turn back. But
you're like literally in the middle of the road trip.
Yes, it was so flat and just it was the longest point of my life. But oh my gosh, so many stories. Went to New Orleans, and in New Orleans, like, pretty much it was a ghost town. It was really scary to actually see. And we actually drove in a day before a hurricane, and we had no idea since we were just on the road. I was calling Ashley. I'm like, man, it's really dirty here in Louisiana. There's just trash everywhere. Buildings are falling apart. There's a boat that's capsized right here. And she's like, you literally just drove through a hurricane like the night before. You just missed it.
Yeah. He called me. I was like, thank God you guys are safe. And then also our friend Jim is, at the time, he was raw, vegan, organic diet because he has like health issues. So Nick's texting me in the car because Nick gets hangry and he's like, all Jim's had today is a coconut chip from Trader Joe's. I need food. I'm like, then get some Jack in the Box. He's like, Jim won't go. And then I'm like, oh my. And he's like having a meltdown. He's like, I just want to be at Disney World. It was so funny. It was.
That must have sucked for Jim going through Texas.
Yeah.
For sure, being a vegan at that time. Well, even now.
Yeah.
I mean, we stopped in two cities within Texas, El Paso, which was just overnight, and we tried to forget about that stop. That was a very scary experience. But the next city I went to was San Antonio, and I was able to actually, since I was so hungry, do a burrito challenge, and it was a 5-pound burrito. Yeah, I didn't win that one. And then,
so then you were full for the day at least.
Oh my God. For like 2 days. And it was the worst because we had to drive that leg was from San Antonio to New Orleans. And yeah, there wasn't very many places to stop because of that hurricane that happened just before.
Yeah.
And it was a long, long trip.
Yeah. And Jim and Nick didn't like, my friend Tara and I kept telling them, we're like, you guys, Disney World is not like California. Like, you're not just like at the Disneyland Castle and 2 seconds later, you're in DCA. It is not easy to go from park to park. It's going to be really exhausting. Give yourself a day between the road trip and Disney World. And they didn't listen to me. So we're halfway through Magic Kingdom and they look like they're going to die. I'm like, are you guys good? Like, this is on video. I'm like, are you good, bro? And Nick's like, we drove here. I'm like, well, whose idea was that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's just funny.
In the moment, it was really grueling, but I'm glad I did it.
Okay. And then Ashley was smart and flew.
Yeah.
Did you guys fly home together or did you have to drive back?
So we actually drove back, but it was pretty insane. It was at the same time as the World Series. And my friend Jim, he has like friends within the Dodger community. So we actually got to go to Arlington, Texas and watch the next 3 World Series games. It was awesome.
That's really cool. I'm a big Dodger fan.
Now
so
Tony's
that's awesome.
Sitting here like I'm salivating, like, oh my gosh.
That's awesome. Disney World and some World Series games. That's a good time.
Yeah. And I was born in 88. So I felt like I had a little bit of the magic to help bring, you know, the Dodgers that victory. I'm going to say I was like probably the biggest reason.
There you go. So what'd you guys think? You know, Ashley, you've been there, but, you know, bringing Nick for the first time, like, tell us about that trip. How much fun did you guys have? What were some highlights? And yeah, talk to us.
We had a great time. We all of us underestimated the mixture of the heat, the humidity, and the mask wearing. And by no means, like, that is the rules. We have to wear a mask. It's keeping everybody safe. But it was 95% humidity, and it was about 95 degrees. And then mixed with the mask, it was really gnarly. And that, I think that was the one takeaway from the trip. Like, it was hot. It was really hot. And then you don't realize how much heat it adds to your face with the cloth mask. But aside from that, it was awesome. And it was cool to go to Animal Kingdom. That's my favorite park out there. And I was really excited to bring Nick just because I feel like it's so different than any other of the Disney parks.
Absolutely. And I think for me, it was my first Disney World experience and realized that it's like a completely different beast than Disneyland. I'm used to like getting off the freeway and just pulling up to Disneyland. And it's not a big deal, but it's like a mission to get to each park and you have to get there early. And it's a whole other thing. But once I got over how big and the scale was, it was really, really awesome.
Yeah. And if any people from Florida are listening, I'm trying to say this in the least offensive way. I kept telling Nick as well. I'm like, here at Disneyland, I feel like the magic is a bit different. Here at Disney, it's very like they go out of their way for everything. And I feel like Florida is a different beast where the cast members, maybe because they're in the heat all day, it's just a different vibe from the cast. I hope I'm saying that correctly. It's just like, it's not as magical in my opinion. There's some magical cast members and I know everybody like, you know, we are so grateful for them to be there, but it's just not like people aren't going to come up to you and be like, here's a free pin. You're beautiful. Nice lashes. Do you guys get what I mean?
I feel like it's a combo of that though. And like, you know, COVID is still going on.
Yeah.
And not only are they telling these people, hey, ma'am, you have to stand in this line, but they're reminding people like put on their mask or keep their distance. So it's like for someone who's a cast member to do all of that's a lot of responsibility. Let's cut them a little bit of a break.
Yeah, that's what that was a thing that was a bit shocking to me. You're not really used to seeing Disney security around, like with, you know, their like weapons and all that stuff. And in COVID, they upped security really hard because you can't rely on an 18-year-old kid who's making $10 an hour to police somebody about a mask. So it was a bit more intense with security, letting people know to follow the rules, which we really appreciated because, you know, you're going there in a pandemic at your own risk and you want to make sure that you feel safe. And I felt like Disney did a really good job and not making their young cast members be a policeman and a security guard and run a ride at the same time.
Yeah. And you see the videos where there are these cast members that are, you know, just trying to do their job and say, hey, you got to put your mask on, you know, correctly or put it on at all. And some of these visitors like get very just straight up rude and like in their faces. And it's just like, what the heck are you doing? Like, this is a young kid making like barely above minimum wage. And you're really going to pick a fight with them over you going to a theme park where you know the rules? Like, come on.
Yeah. We saw somebody get kicked out.
She was, I felt so bad for her. This lady had a soft served ice cream and she was in her scooter going and this cast member was behind her, I don't know, a good 60 yards. Ma'am, you have to pull over and eat your ice cream. And it eventually escalated to her and her whole family being escorted out over ice cream enrolling at the same time.
She's like, I've been
eating and driving.
Eating and driving. You can't do it. She's like, I've been a DVC member for this amount of time. And the lady was like, all you have to do is pull over. And this lady got crazy. And then her kids were like, mom, just shut up. Just shut up, mom. And the mom comes up and they all got escorted out of the park. And like 50 people witnessed it. But it's like, literally just follow the rules. I don't think that anything that they're asking us to do is outrageous.
No.
Agreed. Yeah, 100%.
And it's not like these people don't know before they go to. Like, you already know. Like, come on.
Yeah.
It's been talked about so much, the rules. It's even just like on your local news, like, oh, Disney World, Disneyland changed their policies.
Yeah.
Like, these people know what they're doing.
And I just like, I don't know. Have I gotten upset in public over something? Absolutely. But I do not bully cast members. Like, I'm so grateful that they're giving us the magic. Like, just be nice. And if you have an issue, go take a breather, go have a pickle, take a walk, and get over it. You know what I mean?
Go have a pickle.
Go have a pickle. Get better.
Sounds awesome.
I love that you guys love Animal Kingdom because that is my favorite park of all time. I think that everything is perfect about it. And actually, I think that was the video that we were watching this morning with breakfast was you guys at Animal Kingdom. And I have to say, Ashley, your makeup stayed on and I am amazed.
Thank you. I don't know how, because when I tell you, your girl was sweaty.
It gets bad there. It's so humid. I mean, it's beautiful, but it comes with a price.
Yeah. And Florida people are used to it.
I felt like that park, especially for some reason, I'm not sure if it was the amount of trees or whatnot, but as soon as I got there, I was having trouble breathing.
Yeah. There was a couple moments where we almost lost Nick. He was like, oh my God, I'm going to die. But yeah.
Well, the California heat is very, very different from the Florida heat. And that is one thing I tell Tony all the time. He's always like, let's move to Orlando. I'm like, no, for several reasons, but mostly the humidity, like not going to happen.
Like there was one guy at the beginning of the Expedition Everest line, this cast member that was in full long sleeve Animal Kingdom outfit with two masks and a face shield, and his face shield was so fogged that he couldn't see, and I felt so bad. And he's like, I'm used to it. And I'm like, oh my God, bless you for being here. Thank you.
Yeah.
Did you guys visit all four parks?
We did, yes. Oh, Ashley got to go to three of them.
Yeah, I got to go to three, and then we left, and then Jim and Nick hit up Epcot.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what did you think of Epcot?
Oh, Epcot was awesome. It was probably my second favorite of the parks. So I liked Animal Kingdom first. Epcot was just a fun walk around. Just to be able to explore, have good food and drink was awesome. What do you guys think of Epcot?
We've never had a good time at Epcot. We always drink too much and bad things happen.
Something always happens. But I know that our next trip, it's going to be good. It's got to be.
We're always hopeful it's going to be good the next trip.
That is amazing.
Our next trip, we're going twice, so.
We got to make one of those good.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, but besides Walt Disney World, you guys have also been to another big Disney theme park. Why don't you guys talk to us about that?
I cannot say enough nice things about Tokyo Disneyland and Disney Sea. It's Disney Sea is my favorite park in the world, and I think what makes it are the cast members. Like, you get treated like you are Beyonce everywhere you go. And every person in the park gets treated like that. Like, their cast members are just like, literally, the second you get off the monorail, they're like, Tony, Danny, what can we do to make this better? Do you want this? Do you want a cupcake? Do you want this? Let's give a hug. And it's like, it's so overwhelming in the best way. And you just don't know how to take it because Americans aren't like that. They're just like, let's be real. Americans, for the most part, are pretty rude.
Yeah. Don't look at me.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely want to be treated like Beyonce. That's for sure.
I am Beyonce always. Is that The Office? I don't know. We really want to do Tokyo. Like, that is definitely on our list. How long did you guys go? And did you fly first class? Because I think you have to go all the way to Tokyo.
Oh, we'll give you the full story. So we were at the parks for five total days,
five
right?
Five total days.
Yep. And I honestly think that you need at least that to go through both parks. Both the parks are massive. Their Disneyland there is very similar to Magic Kingdom, but it has that like Tokyo magic. Everything is so precise. Yeah. And just the layout is awesome. The merchandising there is really great. And then Tokyo Sea is just, I don't even know how to describe it. It is beyond a theme park. It's like you're actually there.
It's like, you guys, it's crazy. It is huge. Like, you walk in and there's like a full blown ocean that's like a fake ocean built on top of the ocean, which is really crazy because like you look over the horizon and is it the Pacific Ocean? Is that where Japan is? I don't know, but I'm assuming that's what it is. But it's like, it's so big. And then there's seven different lands. Like, they have a full blown Agrabah, and then they have like a Toy Story area. And then it just keeps going and going and going. Like, we did, 70,000 steps in one day? Mm-hmm. Like, I thought my legs were going to fall off. Like,
70,000?
Is that possible?
We got there before opening, and then we stayed until the end one of the days. And, like, I had to peel Nick off the floor. Like, we can barely make it to the monorail. Because every time you're at the end of a land, you're like, oh, this is the end. Oh no, here's another one. And then there's layers. So they have like different layers of areas. So it's not just like a, you know, one stop park. You can go down to the ocean area, then you can go up to the castle, and it's
a lot of stairs, a lot of,
so, oh my gosh.
And then as far as like flying out there, we booked just basic, like general admission all the way over there, and our flight got canceled and it was non-refundable. So Ashley and I were, we had like three Bloody Marys at the airport. We're like, okay, we're going to Tokyo. This is going to be amazing. And then we had to scramble and figure it out. And Ashley was like, by this time in tears, realizing that we weren't going to go that day. So I was downstairs trying to figure out how we were going to get our tickets, and she showed up sobbing. So they gave us first round or first class tickets there, which was awesome.
You guys, I made a drunken scene at the airport in front of all these people, and the lady felt so bad for Nick that she gave us. We had to come back to the airport the next day, but I show up with mascara on my face, and I'm like, I just want to go to Disney, and you're ruining my life. And it was pretty embarrassing looking back. But we got first class.
We were those Americans.
It was so embarrassing. Like, I'm so glad it wasn't on camera. It was so bad.
I've been a DVC member for so long.
Ma'am, pull over.
Like, kids were staring at me. I'm surprised I didn't end up on World Star. Like, it was so embarrassing. Not my best.
I just want to go to Disney.
That was us.
And we were the youngest people in first class, and everybody was staring like, how did these two weirdos get in here? Like, we were a mess.
It was amazing. We got a huge cheese plate. This lady was serving me beers the whole time. It was awesome.
Yeah. And the way back was pretty rough because we had to fly basic. But I mean, the first class tickets are what, 10 G's?
Oof. That's crazy. Is it really that much to go to Tokyo first class?
I don't know.
Oh.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Know. We try to price it out on our way back. Like, let's see. And we're like, let's close this before we even get further down this.
I feel like we do that every time that we're like flying to Disney World, because we got upgraded to first class once and it was on a flight to Vegas. And ever since that, which is like a 45-minute flight if that. And ever since that, we're like, oh my God, first class is so fantastic. And we've never flown first class again. But every time that we're booking to Orlando, we're like, maybe we should. And then we don't end up doing it. Because it's like, oh, it's like double the price, if not more. Yeah. Like, come on.
It is. You're like, can I just like be uncomfortable the whole time and save $5,000? I guess I will.
Yeah. If I have to.
Right.
I mean, that's just more money you can spend on your vacation.
And all your merch. Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure.
Okay. So what kind of advice would you guys give to a U.S. traveler going to Tokyo Disney? Like, if there's like two or three things that you would really tell them you need to look into before you go to Tokyo.
And what Tony's would be? Basically asking for himself.
Oh. Yeah. One, you're going to definitely try to figure out their metro system, because trains are like the essential way to travel there. Uber is super expensive and very difficult to get to, but their train system there is so efficient. Everyone there is really helpful too. They like love Americans, and they want to engage in speaking English. Like, in most places you want to try to speak the other language there, they'll try to speak English to you, and they're so nice. You can essentially just point to where you go and someone will like grab you by the hand and take you there. So just kind of go with like a positive attitude and try to learn. If you get like the Google Maps app as well, it'll give you like a step-by-step of where to go. But I think if you just go with a great attitude, you're going to have a great time.
Yeah, that go with a great attitude, open mind, but do a lot of research. So before we went on YouTube and we watched a ton of videos on like, if you should stay close to property, if you should stay on property. We opted with an Airbnb that was a Disney decorated Airbnb, and it was $65 American a night.
And it was maybe two blocks from the metro station that was two stops from Disney. So it was super convenient.
Yeah, it was just do a lot of research. That would be my one thing. And then also, if you have visible tattoos, whether that's on your neck or your hands, bring concealer or makeup to cover them, because in Japanese culture, having visible tattoos is seen as rude or that you're in a part of a gang, which we did not know. And we had a weird experience in Shinjuku, and Nick was hot and he had to pull up his sleeve, and the guy grabbed his arm. He's like, you're in a Japanese gang? And then I'm like, put your sleeve down. So just.
And it's like weird. The most non-offensive tattoo. It's like a pink skateboarding tattoo. I was like, dang it.
Yeah.
I wish it was more awesome than this, but not.
But just do research and
hit up skateboarding gangs are big in Japan.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird gangs that we saw there that you'd be like, whoa, I didn't expect that there. The other thing too is like, if just know that you're not going to have as much space to do anything, whether it's your hotel room or just getting around, there's just a lot of people. So be mindful of that. And what's one last one? Oh, when you eat, make sure to slurp and chew your food loudly. It's a sign of like the food is great. I didn't know that the first couple times. So we went to get ramen. I was like, man, these people are aggressively eating, but it's a sign of respect. So we were the rude ones by trying to like keep our mouth shut.
Yeah. There's so much like when you guys go, you're going to love it. And I don't know if you're like fatties, like we are, like Nick and I, like we don't snack, we eat, and everything there is so small. So it ended up costing us more money when we were eating, because like when you order sushi here, you get a roll and it has like 10 pieces. There, sushi is like two baby pieces. And that's why everybody there is really fit. So we were starving. Like we couldn't eat enough because everything's so small.
That's true.
that's one problem we're going to run into just because we're vegetarians. And I hear like there's not too much like vegetarian friendly options. We're definitely piggies and we like to chow down, but yeah, from what we hear, the vegetarian options are very limited there.
No fish.
At Disneyland in Tokyo Sea, they had vegan options. So definitely. You guys will be totally fine there. They had so many vegan options and like spring rolls, and you'll totally be fine.
There's also Instagram accounts that were geared towards like dietary restrictions for Tokyo that we looked at beforehand. So those were super helpful.
Yeah. And now with the age of TikTok, I went on a non-Disney trip with my girlfriend in August and I booked the entire thing off of TikTok travel. So when you guys do go, I would suggest going on the Tokyo Disneyland hashtag on TikTok and getting a lot of tips from that, because you would be amazed how many travel people are on TikTok.
I know. We need to get in. Are you guys on TikTok too?
Oh my God. I just had my first TikTok go viral and my head is this big. I can't even fit through the door. Yes.
We still haven't done TikTok, but we're looking into it. We don't know.
I feel like I'm too old to figure it out. I'm like, how do I not know what I'm doing?
It took me a year to figure out. It just now started.
I've never been on the app ever.
Yeah, Nick, by the way, I'm sure you can tell, like I do all of our socials and I'm the one, like Nick doesn't bother with any of it.
No, we have a good deal.
Yeah.
Post.
Yeah, Nick does all the work and I just post on the internet.
We kind of do similar. Like I'm typically the one on Instagram, but like even talking to you, Ashley, sometimes it's actually Tony like talking as if he thinks it's how I talk.
Surprise.
Oh my gosh.
Most of the time, though, I would say like 97% of the time it's me, but sometimes he'll go on and he'll read a message and be like, I want in on the conversation. And it's awesome. Sometimes he has told me, I try to respond how I think you would respond. I'm like, just don't.
Oh my gosh. That's
because sometimes I'll notice Danny doesn't respond for a while. And I'm like, no, you got to respond sooner than this. So then I'll respond
I was in a meeting. Like, I don't know.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
Not anymore, but I think that was like when we first started out, I would always be like, oh no, you got to respond
soon. Or we'll like both like comment on the same photo and I'll be like, I commented an hour before you. Why didn't you look?
We have commented on the same photo so many times and it's just like, oh my gosh.
You guys have a really good Instagram presence and your pictures are fire.
Yeah.
Like, I love your guys' account.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much. Trust us, we're running out of photos.
Yeah,
so.
It's getting hard being in California.
Yeah, how far down into the archive are you guys?
Pretty far. I think I've even posted photos like back from like 2010, like before. It's like, oh my gosh, how did I even? And you know, it's typically my photos are from my phone. So if it's like a 2010 photo, it's like so pixelated. It's like, how do I edit this? Like, it's so bad.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Since you guys have been to, I was going to ask you your favorite park, but never mind. We got yours, Ashley, Tokyo Disney Sea. Nick, what is your favorite park?
I'm going to have to agree. It's amazing. It's the scale of it is ridiculous. It's so big.
Yeah. Once you guys walk in, then like text us when you guys travel and you'll know exactly what we mean, because you're just going to be overwhelmed in a good way.
And there's like a lot. Something about being on an Italian gondola ride with a Japanese man singing in Italian that you just can't get anywhere else.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, which park do you guys like the least?
If you had to burn it to the ground.
If someone tied you up and is like, all right, you got to blow up one park, which one is it?
But nobody's in the park, don't worry.
No one's there.
Okay. We have the same answer for this one, I think.
Do we?
I think so.
What is it?
Don't be mad at me, guys. I'm going to have to say Magic Kingdom is mine.
Ooh.
I really did just get mad. Ashley, what's
I'm going to get so much hate, but it might change once I go, but I would say Epcot. I'm a ride girl. And when I went, I was bored. But Nick and my friend Tara and everybody says that if I give Epcot a better chance and if maybe I drink a little bit less and like bask in it, I'll like it. But I just think it's boring. And everybody loves Epcot except for me, but mm-hmm. I would say Epcot.
I can understand that for sure. I think my two least favorite parks are definitely Epcot and Hollywood Studios. I feel like I need to give Epcot another chance. But the first time I went, you know, it was our first trip to Disney World and I didn't really do a ton of research or anything like that. I feel like Tony knew more about Disney World than I did. I was just so naive with my Disneyland knowledge. And I remember like just being so disappointed from Epcot because I'm like, where's the Disney magic? Like, I don't feel Disney here. And all I want is Disney at Disney World.
And That's the thing. Like, I don't know if you guys heard like a couple weeks ago, all the like Disney higher ups and investors had that like big web conference. And Bob Chapek said that, hey, we're going to add more Disney magic into Epcot. And it caused this huge uproar because I guess I just learned this, but I guess Epcot has the biggest, like psycho greatest fans. Like there's more Epcot stands than any other Disney park in the world. And people are outraged because unlike you and I, Danny, people like Epcot because it's different. And the thing that, if I will tie it back to Tokyo Disney Sea, Tokyo Disney Sea is like Epcot, but with Disney magic. Like there's a touch of Disney everywhere and it's big and you can drink everywhere and whatever, but you still feel like you're at Disney. And I felt the same way at Epcot where I'm just like, what is happening right now? Like I didn't see any characters and everything. It was just like buildings and there wasn't really a lot of like water shows. I just didn't feel the magic, but everybody says that I need to give it another chance. So I'm willing to give it another chance, but I agree with you. Yeah.
Dang.
I know. Damn. I literally was like, we hate the Mouse Five, you Epcot jerks. Sorry.
I love Epcot.
Yeah, I think some people get Epcot, some people don't. I do think, though, the additions they're bringing to Epcot are going to really help make it a park for everybody with the new Guardians ride and Remy's Ratatouille. I think those are going to be two huge upgrades to make it a park that everyone will love.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
All right. So you guys are our first Disneyland locals. So I want to ask you guys, if the parks were to open like next week and you guys had a private,
you had a bubble,
you guys were allowed to go in first before anyone else. And you guys could pick three things to do at Disneyland or DCA. What would they be? You can only do three things. They're like, here, you're getting a special preview. Boom. Mm-hmm. Here are three things. You have to pick only three things to do.
Okay. You want to go first?
Indiana Jones.
Say it.
Indiana Jones.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So we would go Indiana Jones, Rise of the Resistance.
Lamplight Lounge.
Yeah, in that order.
Okay. I respect
it. Not in that order.
Or Lamplight Lounge to start. So I'm like feeling great. I have lobster nachos, mimosas, a couple drinks.
Yeah, go get turnt and then go on Indiana Jones, sober up, and then go on Rise of the Resistance.
Do you guys like the Lamplight Lounge brunch? Have you guys been there for brunch?
Yes.
I like it.
So, like, what are those? The flight?
The mimosa flight.
The mimosa flight. So good.
It's so good. And I just love the decor in there. And especially if you can get one of the little, like, fire seating areas on the lower patio. Like, it's perfect. And then hearing the Incredicoaster, looking at the Ferris wheel, the whole aesthetic of Lamplight Lounge is so pleasing. I love it.
I was so disappointed when I heard that they were getting rid of Cove Bar because that was like our go-to, you know, and it was like this hidden gem that I feel like towards the end everybody knew about it, but like starting out, people kind of didn't know that you could just go to the Cove Bar and then by the end it was like an hour wait every time you wanted to go. But I was like, oh my God, they're getting rid of the Cove Bar, and then Lamplight Lounge came and I was like, yeah, get the hell out of here, Cove Bar. Like I never want to see you again.
Right. And you're so right. Like the Cove Bar was such like a small spot and like almost like a well-kept secret. And the indoor section was Ariel's Grotto. And Ashley and I actually got to do that dining experience. And it was like the most random thing. It was like a character dining, but you could also have like serve a full bar. It was just bizarre. And I was like, it was empty both times we went.
Yeah, we did it. And then we got like, I never order a Long Island iced tea. And I was like, sure. And when I tell you this had like 55 shots in it, the princess comes by and like, I have one eye open. I'm like, yeah, like I couldn't get it together because the drink was so strong. I had to take a nap on the floor outside, like one of those people.
Oh my God.
Alcoholic, but yeah, they have strong drinks up in there. So
good stuff.
How do you guys feel about like character dinings? Do you guys get like awkward when they come up to you, or is it just, or are you guys excited and stoked?
Like, and we're talking sober, Ashley.
Yeah, no, I don't think anyone is, I'm not that stoked on seeing anyone come through unless it's Mickey Mouse. Then I'm like, what's up, Mickey Mouse?
Yeah, we're Mickey stans. Yeah, sober, it's a bit different. So we, right, like 2 weeks before COVID hit, we took one of my clients and her kids, and like, then she took her friends and their kids, and there was just a bunch of kids, and we did the character dining at Storybook Cafe or Storytellers in the Grand Californian. And being with people that had kids, it was so cool. Like these kids were like so excited over Mickey Mouse, and they were doing like a cha-cha line and all that stuff. So it's nice to go with them. But like, I feel like two sober adults coming to say hi to Mickey at a table is a bit unique, but like to each their own. But like, it's not my jam.
No, I agree. I think that we get really awkward, especially if they're face characters, then I'm out. Like, I can't do it. I can't talk to you and pretend you're like Princess Aurora. I'm sorry. But it's kind of like, what do I do? What do I say? Why are you here? Like, and then you've always got like the table with the kids next to you. They're like, oh my God, it's Mickey. He's coming. And he stops at us first. I'm like, okay, just go to the kid. It's fine.
Right.
Oh, dude, one of my friends, one of my friends has 2 6-year-old daughters, and she's a big fan of the Descendants that was on Disney Channel. And I guess like those are all the kids of the princesses. So Snow White wasn't trained on understanding the Descendants. So her daughter asked Snow White about her kid that's whatever, Evie, and Snow White didn't know. And my friend was like, don't tell my kid she's wrong just because you're not up on the Descendants. And it turned into a thing. And I was like, oh my God. She
got descendant shamed.
She was pissed at Snow White. And I'm like, oh my God, get me out of here. So
poor Snow White. Gosh. Oh, okay. Well, that leads us into our hit or miss part of the episode, where I'm going to ask Nick and Ashley if an attraction I name is a hit or miss. I have 10 attractions. They are Disneyland based. Finally, I can name some Disney DCA attractions. So here we go. Number one, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Hit.
Okay, cool. These are going to get harder, by the way.
So he says.
Number two, Guardians of the Galaxy, Mission Breakout.
Miss.
I'm going to say a hit. Just because they had to redress a ride and you only have like a certain amount of space, I thought they did a great job. Once Avengers Campus is open, it's going to make way more sense.
Tower of Terror for life.
I agree. Tower of Terror is great. I like Guardians as much. Now, do you like the Tower of Terror at Hollywood Studios in Orlando?
Yeah.
Love it.
It's so much better than the one we had out here in California, I thought. It was so good.
Well, yeah, because the one here is just up and down, and then it's a game changer in Walt Disney World because you get off the track and you get to go through that area, so it's not just such a short ride.
True, yes. I do love Guardians, though, but if it was replacing Tower of Terror at Hollywood Studios, I think I'd be like, no, not happening.
Right.
Even though we do really want to go to the one in Tokyo that I'm sure you guys got to go on.
Yes, it's awesome. It's probably like, I'll say this too about the rides in Tokyo. They are not thrill rides.
Oh, yeah.
It felt, I don't know, you don't really drop the same way. Maybe two levels, and it's a different style. So I thought the storytelling, the aesthetic of the building was by far the best. But as far as the ride, I got off, I was like, that was kind of weird.
Yeah, everything. Oh, we should tell you that too. Everything in Tokyo is like softer. Like people don't yell on rides, and it's not like loud and in your face. Like Space Mountain in Tokyo doesn't have music. So you're just in silence and nobody's screaming. So you're just like riding in silence, and everybody there is so respectful. So like during the parades, people aren't like,
they sit down.
They sit down. And they don't even like extend their hands like this because they don't want to get in your way. They're like, hi, Mickey, on the floor. It's It's just such a respectful culture. It's so different. But yeah, the Tower of Terror there, the drop is gentle, and I don't know a better way of describing it. It's just like, it's not aggressive whatsoever. Like, everything's just like, we want to make sure you're still happy and not scared.
Yes.
See, if they had a Matterhorn out there, I think I would like it a lot more.
Touché. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it would be. That's funny.
All right. Star Tours.
Miss.
Oh, crap. Okay, what's going on there?
I think for the time, it's really great. I love the queue for it, especially when the People Mover worked back then. I think it's super interactive and it really fit Tomorrowland at that time. Mm-hmm. I just feel with the ride system, I feel like there's stuff they can do to upgrade it and keep it more lively. I think I love the nostalgia of it, but it's time to like move on to something
else. It's like piss or get off the pot. Like, either make it a baller ride or let's like call it quits.
Yeah, I definitely think it's going to be, I think it's coming to the end of its time, especially with Galaxy's Edge now and mm-hmm. Smuggler's Run. I think Tomorrowland at Disneyland just needs a complete revamp, and they need to just redo the whole thing, to be honest.
100. What would you keep, Tony?
What would I keep there? I would probably only keep Astro Blasters.
What about Space?
I'm not a big fan of Space, but I'm okay keeping it. What they need to do is get rid of the whole Autopia, Finding Nemo, make Intervention something way cooler. The movie theater that used to be Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, where now they just show like movie like there's so much just
empty space
that needs to be touched up. And like, you don't need to put anything crazy or massive there, but there
are
things.
Bring Pandora there.
Well, wow. that'll never happen.
Dude, I said this on an earlier podcast last year where I wish all of Tomorrowland was like the internet in Wreck-It Ralph, and that it was like a dome with screens. So when you go in there, it has like all the, I don't know if you've seen Wreck-It Ralph, but where like, you know, the different parts of the internet and everything, that'd be so expensive, but it's really futuristic. I think that'd
be cool.
You
can like simulate daytime and nighttime, simulate like fireworks or messages being spun at you.
I feel like that's something you could see at Tokyo. That would be so cool. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love for it to be over here too, obviously, but it just sounds like the Tokyo, like how they're always so much more high tech than we are.
Totally. It's so much more like in your face. Like out here, everything's like, you know, I don't know. I don't feel like Disneyland is in your face. That makes sense.
Yeah. And I think Disneyland just has a problem with, and I know you guys have talked about this before, like just the space that they have and the fact that they haven't redone like Toontown or Tomorrowland or even like expanded Fantasyland, just like a little bit, you know, where like the Matterhorn right. and everything is like, there's just so much stuff they could do.
Like for us, it was a huge deal when they got rid of the stroller parking outside of like Indiana Jones area. Okay. Like that was a big change.
Right.
Yeah.
That was such a bottleneck.
It was
The worst.
It's I agree.
I agree with you guys on Tomorrowland. Get rid of all of that. Mm-hmm. All of it. Start fresh.
Yeah, there's so much stuff that they can do, and they can just add on or update a bunch of rides. The Rocket Rod track. Like, come on, fix that up. Make an awesome ride right there with the Rocket Rods track.
It's such like a band-aid. It's just like every time you walk in, you're like, why can't we move here? What is this? You're watching New Kids. Like, what is this, Dad? This is the band-aid of something that they couldn't fix, and now it just sits there. Like, come on, like, get it together.
Yeah, I agree. And it's unfortunate for Disneyland. The thing, see, I'm not an Imagineer, and I always try to say this, like, I don't know, like, the budgeting or logistics behind it or the thought process, but as a consumer, it bothers me that there's brand new Galaxy's Edge that's so high tech, and then you have bootleg Toontown. Like, you have two opposite ends of the spectrum, and I would assume when Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway is done, that's going to be the shiny new toy, and then the rest of Toontown is going to look even worse. And I just feel like as a major theme park company, you shouldn't have such a big disconnect. Like, try to fix it every couple years so it never looks that terrible.
Yeah, there's parts of Toontown where it's like the paint is even just chipping. It's like, can't you just touch that up?
Right? It just looks so run down. It's bad.
Like Chippendale's ball pit hasn't been a ball pit in like 10 years. It's just a pit of despair in the back now.
Like, what are we doing?
I don't know.
Oh, man. All right. Our next attraction.
Now that you guys crapped all over my Star Tours, all three of you.
Soaring Around the World.
Oh, miss. Bring back Soarin' Over California. That's the one.
Or get rid of all of it. I hate that ride.
What?
I think once you've been on Flight of Passage, Soarin' just kind of is like, eh.
Yeah.
That's my opinion on it.
It's one I'm fine skipping, but definitely if it's going to be there, California is much better than over the world, I think.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I don't know why they don't split it up with the two lines like that people have talked about where you can have an option to go on either one.
Oh, that would be awesome.
It would be awesome and be like hard numbers on what people actually want.
Yeah.
Depending on like the wait time. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number five, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Oh, this is a hit. This is my favorite ride in Fantasyland by far.
I love it for the nostalgia. I love that as a little kid, you can go through hell. I love all of it. I think it's cool.
It sends a great message to kids. Don't drink and drive or you'll go to hell.
Yeah.
That's so true. You know, the first time I ever took my my nieces to Disneyland, this was the very first ride that they went on and they were crying. They were like, I hate Disneyland. And then we went over to Snow White's Scary Adventure.
That's and then the
they were, I know. They're like, okay, we're ready to go home.
Yeah. Low key, Fantasyland, like unless it's a Carousel or Peter Pan, it is not for kids. It's like, it's for older people that like to get scared. I don't like it.
No, that it is for kids. It's supposed to scare these kids. They need a little bit of that. There was something about when I was a child getting on that or like Haunted Mansion where I was like nervous that like my senses were like peaking.
Yeah.
You know?
Got to grow some tough skin for that Disney magic.
I feel like Walt wanted that too. He's like, all right, we got to toughen these kids up. You know, we got to get them ready. Let's do it.
If you think about all those movies that he made, it's tragic. Mothers are dying. Kids are getting separated. Like
yeah, human trafficking. Like all
Disney
this
stuff. Now.
Yeah.
Like, come on. I know,
we're preparing you for life, kids.
Just for a world of disappointment.
Yeah.
All right. Next up is Goofy Sky School.
Hit.
I think it's a miss.
Okay.
The ride itself is like the most terrifying at either of the parks and it gets its job done. I just feel like they could put an IP to it or spruce it up just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I'm just the ride terrifies the heck out of me. So I had to put it on the list. It's probably the scariest ride I think on Disney property.
It is pretty. Right? That
first turn. Oh my gosh.
Like one bad move and you're flying into that tree where people are eating on the ground.
And that's like one of those rides if you go with someone who's never been on it or a kid who's like, this is my first roller coaster. The terror on that first turn, they have no idea what they're in for.
Yeah. You're like, or, you know, or with a man in his 30s who's crying on the ride. I mean, I've experienced that.
I was sitting like front row and like I just thought every turn I was gonna fall over. It was terrifying. I've been on it once and I will never go on it again.
Oh wow.
Can't do it.
You do Incredicoaster?
Love it. Great ride. One of my favorites.
Yes.
Next up, Storyland Canal Boats.
Miss. Get rid of all of that and Casey Jr. Bye.
I love it, but Ashley hates it. I love old Disney like that. I love that.
And again, Ashley and I are on the same page, and Nick and Tony are on the same page.
I feel like Nick and I are more historians. You know, we appreciate the finer, smaller things about the parks.
And what, Ashley and I like to have fun.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's so funny. Nick and I are prepping for 5 rides in Disney California that gotta go, and literally everyone's gonna hate me. Because those two, like, okay, do I need to sit on a boat and look at little like Barbie-sized homes when I can go on Indiana Jones? Like, what is the point here?
It's for kids. It's not for a 33-year-old woman who's drinking at Lamplight Lounge and then walking over to the canal
boat. Wimpy kids. Like, what kid's like, I want to go on a boat ride and look at Polly Pocket houses. Like, if that was my kid, I'd be like, you're lame.
That sounds like a good time.
Yeah. Tony, let's get out of here and get on those boats.
I think that sounds great. Yeah. We'll go to Lamplight Lounge. You and I can go on the storybook ride and they can go do some other stuff.
Yeah, we'll be front row.
I just like fun.
I always feel like I'm going to fall off that boat. Like just like the dip into the boat, like the step in. I'm like, oh God, here it comes.
That's the thrill.
All right. Next up, Winnie the Pooh.
Hit.
Yeah, it's a hit for me as well.
All right, cool. Next up is Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln.
I've never even been in that, and I don't think I ever. Just what I want at my park, a history lesson.
I know Nick's been for sure.
Yeah, I've been. You know what? It's great. Honestly, what I think they should do is reface it, though. Instead of giving me, Abraham Lincoln, give me Walton there doing like a day one speech or doing something with Disney. I don't want to, we can change that around a little bit.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good idea. Yeah. I've never thought of that. That's especially because when you exit, you get to see like the bench and everything and all that stuff that,
it would make it
Disney
flow.
History if they had like a Walt and a little animatronic.
What was that?
No, I think it'd be fun. We got to visit a couple years ago, the Walt mm-hmm. Disney Family Museum in San Francisco. And there's just so much there that I feel like they could borrow from the source material.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Did you guys happen to go to the Bowser Museum?
We didn't.
Yeah.
Did you guys get to go?
No.
No, we've booked tickets a few times, and then it had to be canceled.
Yeah.
Definitely want to check it out. All right. Last but not least, Autopia.
Oh, miss. Get rid of it.
Bye. It smells. It's boring.
Like, there's nothing else I want to do on a hot day besides like breathing this like golf cart fumes. No, yeah, just get rid of it.
With little kids like, mommy, I'm driving. And then they don't move. I'm like, go. No. Yeah,
that's one ride they need to get rid of. And they need to get rid of the submarines and put something awesome there, I think.
I hate Autopia.
I hate, like, literally hate Autopia so much.
What would you guys put in that spot since it's like so close to either Tomorrowland or an expansion of Fantasyland? What would you like to see in that area?
Well, I wouldn't put Pandora there, but I think Flight of Passage would be kind of cool. Just the ride itself. There's not really enough room to put the whole land there.
I don't think that would fit the theming though if we kept the theme. I mean, Tron could go there.
The thing is, Tron's just so massive. I'm not sure if that would be able to fit there or not. Like kind of like what Ashley said, I'm not an Imagineer. It would be cool, but I think there's just not enough space to put that ride there, especially with like the line queue and everything.
True.
I think for me, I don't want all the same rides in California and Walt Disney World. Cause then it's like, what's the point of like traveling over there? So I wouldn't want two Trons, but I think a different type of roller coaster would be cool. I don't know what that would be.
I feel like Disney is basically like just waiting on an IP that fits that aesthetic to be like, we're just going to plug and play, put it there, yes. To be honest.
But for some reason, I'm like really into the idea of a Wreck-It Ralph ride. Like, I don't know what that would be, but like a breaks the internet, whether it's like a twirly ride or something, and then start that as like the upgrade to Tomorrowland because it is futuristic.
That could
work. Yeah. That, or even if they don't want to do Tomorrowland there, then I think that we need a Fantasyland e-ticket attraction. Like, we need something big. Our Fantasyland compared to Magic Kingdom, it's just so tiny. We don't really like, I mean, I love all the rides there. I love the dark rides, but I feel like we need something big there.
I agree.
I feel like if they're going to have to do like a Fantasyland, it's either going to be like Frozen or something like that. And if they put like a Frozen attraction or something that was themed, it would fit into like the Matterhorn being right in that little sliver as well, where I feel like it could still work.
Like, I would be so down to just demolish all of Tomorrowland and extend it into like Elsa's ice castle land. Like, that would be so sick. And like, the second you walk into the land, it gets like 10 below. You're like, ooh, I'm in.
Ooh, that'd be perfect.
Yeah.
Spend all my time there. I love the cold.
Yeah, I mean, Frozen would fit there, and then like a Tangled ride, like
oh,
I'm almost thinking like a Seven Dwarfs Mine Train needs to go there too, but
like different theme,
a different type of theme. I'm not sure which.
Make it as like Frozen in like a sled instead.
Yeah, you know, like just something. Yeah.
Well, maybe they'll just retheme the Matterhorn to a Frozen attraction.
No, leave the Matterhorn alone.
Nick literally last year was like, it's a ticking time bomb until Matterhorn turns into Elsa's sleds. And
I'm
like,
just saying,
I love Frozen, but do not touch
it. Could you imagine they replace like the Yetis with like an Olaf in that corner? Popping out. Hey! Like, oh, gosh.
You know what? That could still be scary, though.
Yes, that would be scary. Olaf low-key is a bit scary in person.
Yes, I love him, but a little strange.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, so guys, thank you so much for joining us. This was such a fun interview. Please tell us where people can find you guys at.
YouTube.com/mousevibes. That's where we upload all of our videos of us just like drinking tequila at Downtown Disney, giving you the latest theme park news.
Yep.
And then you guys are also on Instagram, Real yeah. Mouse Vibes, right?
Yeah, we're on Instagram at Real Mouse Vibes because we're the real mm-hmm. mouse.
Not the bootleg Mouse Vibes.
Not the bootleg, not the fake ones. The real ones.
I'm going to start an account, Bootleg Mouse Vibes. Come yeah. find me.
Follow that one, guys.
No, don't. You guys have been so fun. I like, seriously, we love your YouTube channel. Keep it up, please. If you guys like YouTube, if you like watching videos, if you like something different, check them out, because I'm telling you, their videos are just different from any kind of Disney video I have seen. So keep it up, guys. You guys can find us as well on Instagram, Mouse Park Insider. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast. It's the best way for you to never miss a new episode. And if you haven't already, please leave us a review. It will help immensely with other people in finding our podcast. Have a great week, guys. We'll see you next time.
Sorry, folks. I'm sure to do better next time. It was my first flight, and I'm still getting used to my programming.